Oh, yeah. Back at the Golden 1 Center after the Kings beat the Lakers in L.A. last night. Doesn't it feel good?
Feels great. And, yes. and I see on the YouTube chat, Sacktown Sports 1140, Linda asked Drapes, is there anything better than watching the cocky Lakers and then beating them? Not at all. And here's the thing, Whitey. I'm walking around crypto.com. It's tons of Lakers fans. Tons of Lakers fans. Not as many Kings fans. And I thought, man, it would be nice to shut them up.
Quiet the building.
Because usually they come in here and try to take over.
Yeah,
we went
that.
Down there and smacked them up. So it felt good.
Yeah. Of course, you got to take care of your business tonight.
Yes.
Against the Spurs. Now, the Laker announcers last night did not know. TV announcers did not know that Domas is leading the league in triple-doubles. I'm sure our next guest knows that, right? He's a professional. He does his homework. I'm sure he knows that. Nice enough to join us, the TV voice of the Spurs, Dan Weiss. Dan, how are you this afternoon, sir?
22. I'm doing good.
Yeah, we were just surprised by that. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but
that's okay.
Yeah, our producer, Jay, yeah, he saw that he was watching the Laker telecast last night, and they were flabbergasted by that. And, you know, it's just kind of the way it goes with Domas. By the way, could you please ask Devin Vassell to take it easy on the Kings tonight? Because he was very comfy his last trip in here.
Yeah, only if you guys ask De'Aaron Fox to do the same for the Spurs, because he scores a career high against the Spurs more than any other opponent. So we'll do the trade that way, if that's good.
That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, no Victor Wembanyama tonight. Kings fans heartbroken. I got my family coming. Got my son and daughter in the building. They wanted to see Big Victor out with that ankle. What's this team look like without Victor out there?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not unfamiliar territory for them, although it's going to be the first game Victor's missed since the middle of January. So he's been on a nice run here as of late in terms of his durability. But yeah, turned the ankle in the second quarter the other night against Houston, but he actually, you know, just went back to the locker room, taped it up, and he played through it. He played the entire fourth quarter. But, I mean, he didn't look, I guess, right would probably be the best way to put it. I mean, he didn't attempt a shot after the second quarter. Part of that was due to what the Rockets were doing defensively. But without Victor, they, you know, they'll slide Zach Collins most likely into the starting center role, which was something that the Spurs were actually doing at the beginning of the season, where they were having Victor play alongside Zach. Zach was the five, Victor was playing the four. So move Zach Collins into the five, but pretty much everyone stays the same. And as far as, you know, backup center minutes go, you know, sometimes the Spurs go a little bit small with the backup five. Sometimes they'll play Jeremy Sochan as the backup five and kind of stagger the minutes a little bit that way. So that's what we've seen in the past. Otherwise, you've got Dominic Barlow, who's mostly been in the G League this season, but just signed to a full one-way contract just last week. So he's available, and Sandro Mamukelashvili as well. They eat up some of those minutes too.
Dan Weiss with us, TV voice of the Spurs. And I'm following you on Twitter. He's a very informative follow on Twitter, or X, if you will. And, you know, the Spurs figure to miss Wemby for many reasons, including this. The Kings don't defend the triple stripe well. And, Dan, I saw you posted on Twitter, Wembanyama has been on fire from the three-point line lately, huh?
Yeah, he has, and so has Devin Vassell, actually, too. You know, I just saw this note that he's made a 3-22 straight games, which is in season. That's the fourth longest streak in Spurs history. So, yeah, the Spurs have been shooting a little bit better from the three-point line. You know, they had one of those games last Thursday against Oak City where, you know, Oak City was the number one three-point shooting team in the NBA, and the Spurs were number 30, and it was the Spurs who shot the three-pointer better that night and ended up winning the game by 14. So, I mean, we hear the adage all the time, it's a make-or-miss league. And, you know, that night it was going in for the Spurs. Other nights that it hasn't been going in as much, and obviously that's kind of maybe been reflected by the record.
Dan, Kyle Draper here, man. What would you say you've seen from Pop this season, longest tenured coach? Obviously, we know a Hall of Famer. Is it a different Pop? Is it the same old Pop with Wemby here? How do you think Pop's been this season?
I think he's been great. I think, you know, last year was, you know, really for the first time, you know, a true kind of rebuild for the Spurs. But for Pop, it was, and he said this on multiple occasions, you know, kind of felt like he was going back to his days when he was a college coach at Pomona Pitzer. because it was about teaching again, right? When you've got Tim, Tony, and Manu, you don't really have to do much teaching. You just roll them out there and just kind of sit back and watch the magic take place. But last year with the young crew, you know, Pop really had to go back to teaching and restoring fundamentals. And, you know, I think he was definitely rejuvenated by that. And then now you get a Victor in here this season. Obviously, that adds to the energy and the rejuvenation. But it's still one of the youngest teams in the NBA. So there's still a lot of teaching. You know, there's a lot of moments where I think, you know, the other night's a good example. You know, after the game, he said, look, you know, we didn't play physical enough against the Rockets. And then beyond that, you know, there's a difference in terms of mental toughness of being at home. You know, you take out the Thunder and the Pacers, but then you got to come out on the road and you got to display that same mental toughness. And, you know, he said that the Spurs didn't have that the other night. And again, a lot of that can be attributed to a young team. So I think you get a lot of the same Pop in terms of, you know, how he carries himself. But at the same time, it's a Pop that I think is really excited about working with this young group and trying to help them get better in a lot of different ways.
Dan Weiss with us, Stevie Voice of the Spurs. You mentioned rejuvenation, and of course, Mike Brown, he spent a lot of time with the Spurs. What's been your view, Dan, of how Mike Brown has come in the last couple of years, kind of rejuvenated what the Kings are all about and the way that they play?
Yeah, it's really phenomenal. A lot of kudos to Mike Brown, because not only has he rejuvenated the team, but he's rejuvenated the city, you know, everything in terms of following the Kings. You know, this is the second time we've been here now in the last couple of weeks, and you walk around, and I mean, there's a buzz about the Kings. I mean, there was a buzz last year, but now it's consistent, and I think, you know, all the kudos in the world to what Mike Brown has done. You know, he's got he's really done a great job, I think, in trying to get this ball club, you know, that for years was, you know, a guy like De'Aaron Fox. And then when you got Sabonis in there, you had the pieces, but they've obviously bought into what he's preaching. And now I'm seeing a little bit more on the defensive end as well, too. And I think, you know, that's where they're going to be at their biggest strength, you know, in the postseason, is that can he get that same level of intensity out of them on the defensive end that he's doing here right now in the regular season? Because I think if you do that, I mean, you know, I'm looking at your game last night, and this obviously is, you know, this has been a common theme across the NBA all season. But, I mean, you know, you turn a 19-point deficit into a 22-point lead in a span of basically a quarter and a half of game time. I mean, that is just absurd. In this NBA, but that doesn't happen without playing defense either. I mean, you can score all the points that you want, and the Kings are more than capable of doing that, but you got to get the same level of intensity on the defensive end, and clearly Mike's been able to find that out of his team.
Dan Weiss, play-by-play announcer for the San Antonio Spurs. Dan, this will be our third time seeing you guys this year, and those first two meetings, I mean, you know, the Spurs competed hard. They were close games for the most part. What are you seeing from your club night in and night out and the way they compete and how they're handling this season?
Yeah, I mean, the compete level has never been in question. And Pop's mentioned that on multiple occasions, you know, even in games where they've come up short, maybe they come up short by a not-so-insignificant margin. He's always appreciated their attitude and their compete level. What's been different here since, you know, I would say really the middle of February, but, you know, really probably post All-Star break, is, you know, they've found themselves in a lot more close games, you know, within 5 points in the last 5 minutes. And that's been a little bit different for this club. You know, that game in Sacramento the first time, you know, they're up 4 points with 2 minutes to go, and you're thinking, all right, you know, they got a shot here, yep, to really steal a win on the road against a quality opponent. But you could tell that, again, talking about that mental toughness, you know, you have those lapses, and I mean, they can be for just a couple of seconds, but you give those lapses to a good team like the Kings, and they're going to take advantage of you. And I mean, you know, there's a reason why De'Aaron Fox is the reigning clutch player of the year, but I mean, the play of the game was the block he had on Devin Vassell. That was easily the play,
yes,
of the game, sealed the win, mm-hmm, for the Kings that night. So, you know, I think what's been fun to watch about the Spurs is that they find themselves in more of these types of situations, which is where they weren't at the beginning of the year, and it's how they're responding to them. And I think that's probably what they're, you know, looking forward to here over these last 20-plus games.
Our guest is Dan Weiss. He's the TV voice of the Spurs this evening. Dan, what did you and what did the organization think of all the speculation on ESPN this week, which seemed to be not much more than unfounded speculation that Wemby's unhappy here, and if the team doesn't start winning soon, he's going to want to get out? How did the organization deal with that? What did they think of all that?
Yeah, they just ignore the noise. I mean, they've ignored the noise for almost 30 years right now, and that's kind of been their MO. They just go about and do their business. And, you know, I think it's funny because it's the first time the national media has been talking about, you know, the Spurs, obviously, in a long, long time. And, you know, that I think that comes with the territory of having a superstar like Victor. But organizationally, they just go about their business, and that's been what they've been doing for the last 30 years.
Dan Weiss, play-by-play announcer for the Spurs. Dan, when you prepare for tonight's game, give me something you're looking for tonight. You know, what's a stat or a category or something that, you know, if the Spurs are playing well, if they're going to win, they need to do this tonight?
They need to stop De'Aaron Fox, but not necessarily just in his overall game, but, I mean, 32 points in the paint last night, which I went back and looked. That was the most since Ja Morant 2 years ago for a guard for points in the paint. So, I mean, that's got to be an area where they've got to focus on. And on the flip side, you remember the last game, the Spurs were actually dominant in the paint. They had 72 points in the paint themselves. So I think they found a little bit of an area offensively that they can take advantage of against the Kings. They also shot their fewest percentage of threes in a game all season in that game. They only took 25% of their shots from the three-point line. So they kind of found a formula that works, and I'm curious to see if they're going to stick with that again here tonight, at least on the offensive end. Obviously, different mindset. You don't have Victor, so it's going to be a little bit of a different approach. But, you know, defensively, they got to figure out a way to stop Fox, getting him in the paint. And then offensively, curious to see how they attack the Kings' defense.
Dan, we appreciate your time. We'll let you go on this one. You know, Kings fans look here at this very volatile West and looking ahead even to the offseason and how you make up ground on some of the teams ahead of you. At the same time, Kings and Kings fans have to look back now at teams. Well, there aren't many teams like yours. You know, when you got a guy like Victor, wow, when are they going to be, you know, nipping at our heels? How close are the Spurs to being a factor in the West? What do you think they need to do with the offseason the most to get there as soon as possible?
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I think, you know, the question, probably the million-dollar question that all Spurs fans are going to ask this offseason. I mean, they've been, I would say they've been very upfront in terms of their patience and, you know, not skipping steps. That's been their biggest, mantra this season and really going for it. It's like, we're not skipping steps. And, you know, they've got Brett Brown on staff as an assistant, of course, who, you know, he was at the helm of all those process Sixers teams over the years. So, you know, they understand that it's a long-term process. But at the same time, obviously, there's going to be areas they're looking to fill. You know, I think perimeter shooting is definitely something that, you know, is going to be probably top of mind. And then I'm sure, you know, other areas as far as, you know, they tried an experiment with Jeremy Sochan at the point guard this year, you know, and then moved Trey Jones back into the point guard position. So probably further fortifying the point guard position going forward is probably another area that they're looking at. But, I mean, they're going to let this young team grow and identify, you know, the pieces that are going to be a part of the big core moving forward. But between Jeremy Sochan, Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson has really kind of emerged more as the veteran of this team now, as one of the older players. That they've got a nice core in place, and now it'll be interesting to see how they do grow here over the next couple of seasons.
Dan, thanks for your time. Remember our deal here. You guys talk to Devin Vassell about tonight, and we'll see if we can't talk to De'Aaron, right? That's a deal, right?
Yeah, I'm giving you like the fingers crossed. You probably can't see that right now, but sure.
Yeah, we weren't going to do anything on our end either.
Yeah,
thanks.
Have
a great call. We appreciate it. Yeah, we'll
all
talk
right,
to you soon. Thank
care.
You, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I wasn't really going to ask.
Right, we weren't. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Kyle, of this notion? And I know it was Ramona and it was your boy,
yeah,
Kendrick, talking about it on ESPN, of course, and sometimes they just create something out of nothing. But this idea that, hey, Wemby does not like to lose, and he is not going to want to stay there, and they better do something. And Kendrick said, there's a lot of teams that would want him. There's a lot of guys that want to play for him.
Oh,
they better
God.
Do something. I mean, what?
It's the worst part of sports.
They owe him. Wemby deserves better than what he's getting. What do you think, Al?
I think it's nonsense. I think it's what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's,
is it one you can say?
No, right.
You can say any word once.
Right, exactly. Jay got the drop button ready, right? No, it's a shame that this is what we become as sports media. Not me and you. I'm just saying in general that this kid hasn't even played 1 year yet. Now, if they had sources close or something like that, okay. But for them to just speculate like that, Wemby's going about
like
his business.
Yeah, right.
He's just minding his own business, and then bam, this comes out, and I'm sure his phone got lit up, his mentions got lit up. I think it's you know, journalistic malpractice, what we saw from Ramona Shelburne and Perk on that. I mean – and this is the issue I have with media is that, you know, those kind of shows, you sometimes you just say things. You're just saying things to try and get clicks and trying to go viral.
And it becomes big because of no really good
reason.
Or any foundational.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And to me, Ramona, Perk, they have to recognize the power of their voices. Like when they say something, it gets aggregated. It gets blown up. I mean, that is, you know, I hated that when I heard it.
I mentioned to you, even Chuck Swirsky of the Bulls announcer.
Yeah.
He posted something on that and said, look, I like Ramona Shelburne, but come on. What are we doing here?
Right. What are we doing, right? I agree. And so, no, it's ESPN, man. They are it's like a train wreck that I find myself watching every day because – It just makes me angry. Like, the discourse. Like, we're not talking about anything that actually happened. Like, let's talk about the actual games. Mm. Let's talk about what we see in between the lines. Everything is speculation now. I hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing but cold, hard facts around here,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
No hot takes at all, right? No hot takes. Don't bring in Brock Purdy. No hot takes.
And no disrespect intended to the Spurs, Dan Weiss, Mr. Schoening down there. Kings are going to win tonight because they have to.
Darn it, Whitey, you did.
They have to win.
Oh, my God.
You
did the same thing the other night against the Bulls. And what did I say? You got to respect your opponent. Remember I said
I'm not playing them. I do respect them.
Devin Vassell right now is over there at the Sawyer Hotel in the weight room.
Phenomenal.
Listening to our show. And he's lifting weights, pumping iron. He's like, I hear that guy, that Kevin Gleason. So you're giving him bulletin board material.
When Frankie hesitated when we asked him to guarantee a win, you gave him a hard time. Now you're giving me a hard time for saying the Kings have this one. This is it. We're off the coaster tonight.
These are unspoken, like, thoughts that, like, we both know, but we're not supposed to say it as easily as you are. You're like, no need to even tune into this game. This is already a
W. What about you? If the Kings don't win tonight, I will give away my Brock Purdy jersey, which I'm going to give to someone anyway.
You kept the receipts on that, huh? I did say that.
I don't even want it, but that's what I'll do.
I will be heartbroken. I will be – oh, my gosh. You're right.
All right. It's it should be a fun game, a fun party.
Well,
celebrating last night.
Right.
Tonight.
I'm with you, dude. It should be a party.
Jay is not allowed to talk right now, right?
Chicago was supposed to be a party. It was a party through three and a half, almost, through three quarters. And then, bam, they turned the lights out on.
Uh-huh. Even Jay tomorrow will be going, you guys were right.
I wonder how Jay feels about today's game. Because last week he against Chicago, he was chiming in a little bit the day after. He said, you know, I wonder how he feels about this one.
Yeah. We'll find out. We'll come back. We'll find out. Also, we've got we didn't get to it earlier. I'll tell you how Domas, Keon, and Davion feature in Whitey's wish list next from the Golden One Center. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. It's the Drive Guys coming to you from the Golden One Center. Kings on fire tonight, right, Drapes?
I don't know. You sound like they should be. They should come in breathing hot fire. This should be Whitey, and I was just giving you mess last segment. This should be a fourth quarter Fox rest.
Be careful because Bill Schoening's right there.
I know. He got a pipeline to Pop, too, right? You know, I'm sure Pop is listening in. So, I mean, it should be. All signs point to that. Like, you know, how many times are we going to have to wonder if the Kings are going to learn their lesson, you know?
Right.
And treat every opponent. You know, I saw somebody, and I forget who it was. It was an NBA player, Whitey, and they said, you don't, play the opponent. You play the team, basically, like the jersey. Like, you don't look at, oh, no LeBron, so we, you know, you look at, it's the Lakers tonight, so we're going to play. It's the Spurs tonight, no matter what. Like, and in my mind, as a player, to get yourself up, you got to think, they got Tim Duncan, Manu out there, Tony Parker. Like, you got to come with that kind of energy so that in the
David Robinson,
Terry Cummings, you know, yeah. Iceman, whoever it you need to get yourself fired up and ready to go.
Well, here we have this from the Soulshine Band, pardon me, on YouTube chat. Suns play the Raptors tonight. Kings absolutely need this game tonight. This isn't about a jinx anymore either. Guys need to come ready tonight. Bring it. Execute from the get-go. I would think even Jay has to admit that the Kings are going to win tonight.
I would like to, fellas, but I'm very hesitant because I called it yesterday. I thought they would beat the Lakers quite easily, and they did. And I said to Whitey, I'm not 100% sure what they're going to do with the Spurs, fellas. So I'm a little hesitant,
dude,
fellas.
Why are you doing that, Jay?
I understand, man.
You don't want to be boo-boo the fool and get fooled again and everything, but come on, man. Eventually, right, these guys got to figure it out and turn it around.
I agree. Let me say this, and Jay can back me up. Last week is one of the days when you were gone. We were looking at the schedule, and we said, you know what? we can tell you exactly what the Kings are going to do. We said, every game you think they should win, they're going to lose, and vice versa. And we started going down the schedule. And we did, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 games, and we stopped. We said, this is depressing. We have to stop. I think we got every game right.
Yes,
we did.
So
we
far.
Did.
Yes, yes. Yes, that's what's scary, right? That's what's scary about tonight. And so, you got everything right. But I think this Kings team, man, I think they understand what's at stake. Mike Brown talked about it every game, having a playoff kind of atmosphere, intensity, focus. So I'm looking forward to tonight.
All right. It's time now for Whitey's wish list. Like to do this when we're at the arena, before a game. Just these are three things I want to see tonight. Wish number one, get the ball to Domas early and often. He destroys Zach Collins, does he not? He has chunks of guys like Zach Collins in his intestines. Let's see a rare big scoring night for Domas tonight. See, that's what's going to get him some attention. And maybe we don't need him to get attention, but the big scoring nights, that's what's going to get him noticed.
No, I agree with you. This would be a game where he should dominate.
Yeah.
Right. It's Gonzaga on Gonzaga crime. I'm going to use that tonight when he posterizes Zach Collins. And so, no, you're right. He did it against Anthony Davis. Now you got to get up if you're Domas and take it to Zach Collins tonight.
Yeah, he sure took it to him last time Zach Collins came in here. And Zach Collins isn't a bad player, but he had no chance against Domas.
It's because people don't understand how strong Domas is, how physical. Like, look at Anthony Davis, one of the premier big defenders. Domas was shredding him like carved beef or something like that.
Yeah,
he was just slicing and dicing him.
Au jus.
Au jus. I do like some au jus. I love some au jus. But, and so same thing with Collins. Doesn't have the physical makeup to deal with Domas down low.
Mm-hmm. Wish number two, more Keon Ellis. He starts against the Wolves with Fox out, plays well, they win. Then he did not play against the Bulls. What? Okay, all right, never mind. He certainly contributed last night. He needs more minutes. He needs a chance. All right, and to the point you made earlier, Drapes, if he comes in and he's not doing anything, all right. But you have to give him the opportunity because he's showing that he can help you and he can defend, and he is shooting, 36% on threes this year? So all I'm saying is he deserves a chance to continue to show that he can play this way.
What I'm worried about, and I hear you, I hear you, but what if Kevin Herter's 5 of 6 from three early on?
Then I don't have a problem, right?
Then you're okay with him not going to Keon?
If my offense is functioning and I'm playing well and I'm winning, I don't have to worry about anything.
So he doesn't have to play Keon minutes then?
Well,
it's based on how Herter's doing, how Davion's doing. Like, to me, Keon is another tool in your tool belt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's not the hammer that you start with. You know, let's say you try to, you know, loosen up a screw. Well, you try it with one device. Ah, that doesn't work. Then you try it with it. And then you go to Keon. Like, if Kevin Herter's playing well, you don't turn to him.
All right.
And so I don't think it's an absolute. That's what I'm talking about with Keon.
Gotcha. I'm just saying, we know this team is not great defensively. And I think how scrappy they can continue to be is going to be one of the keys to getting where they want to get to. And I think Keon Ellis can be a big part of that. By the way, I said during the summer that Keon Ellis would be a bigger piece of this than anybody expected. You're welcome. And by the way.
Is he?
Yes.
People bigger than we expected?
He's not even a two-way player anymore.
All right. All right.
He started four games.
Oh, my.
Did you think he'd start any games this year?
How many games did Kessler Edwards start last year? How many games did – who's our man to start the season?
I forget.
Who was the guy that started
the
season? No, I'm saying, you know, I thought Keon would get an opportunity this season at some point. I mean, I thought this was a big year for him because second year two-way guys, if you don't show anything by then, you know, look at Nemias Cater. Remember him in Sacramento?
I do.
He had 2 years, never showed anything.
By the way, Jamias Ramsey, somebody picked him up.
Right. Did they really?
Yeah, I'm serious.
He's still around?
G League. He's with
what?
Somebody picked him up for his.
Yeah, someone did pick him
Toronto?
Up. Let me check it up. Hold on.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect.
That.
I'm trying to be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that.
I haven't heard that name
in a couple of years
there. By the way, I also said this summer doing stuff with Chris that Davion Mitchell would shoot 35% from the 3-point line. Well, after going 4-for-4 last night, he's up to 34%. He's almost there.
No, he is. And the Kings put something out real quick. Let me pull this up, Whitey, because the Kings just tweeted out something about Davion and his shooting numbers. And they said Mitchell's shooting efficiency stands out in the new year. Per Cleaning the Glass, Davion is shooting 43.5% from three, 65.2% effective field goal, and 65.1% from two-point range since January 1st over the last 25 games.
That's incredible.
So, yes.
That's a guy who realized smart, right? Huh, I wasn't on the floor as much as I wanted to be because I wasn't scoring.
Right.
I got to make shots.
Got to knock
down. Stay on the floor. And he worked and worked and worked, and so far, so good. Wish number three. Say bye-bye to the bogeyman tonight. No more great wins followed by home collapses against short-handed teams. It ends tonight. It's over tonight. Say bye-bye. Put the bogeyman on that roller coaster.
I like the confidence.
Bye-bye.
I like it.
Bye-bye.
Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah.
I can get on board with that. Let's go.
Defend the home floor with intensity,
go,
energy,
Sacramento.
And effort.
Yes.
Tonight. Yeah.
Yes. And I said it on the post game the other day when they lost here to Chicago. This fan base deserves better, Whitey.
Amen.
This fan base, this home crowd deserves a win tonight. So
You're
I'm
right.
with you.
Yeah. That's Whitey's three wishes today. And by the way, I think we have to acknowledge it's, what, two games in a row now? They've been making their free throws.
Have they? Two games in a row?
Yeah.
Let me look. I hadn't been paying attention.
Even in the Bulls game, which
they lost, they did.
For 20 or...
No, you're right.
16
yeah.
or 18 or something.
Yeah, I think, what, 16 of 18, I think,
yeah.
something like that. And then last night, only 12 attempts, but they hit 10 of them, 83%.
Right.
You know, and so, no, keep it up.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Yeah, 12 free throws for the Kings, 25 for the Lakers. Mm. And guess which team was complaining about the officiating, right? Am I right? The
right.
Lakers are always complaining.
They're always complaining. They always want fouls. AD was complaining. LeBron, Hachimura. Austin Reeves was out there pouting, and our boys just played through it.
Yeah.
We just played.
I think we've really achieved something today. We've even gotten Jay to the point where he's saying, yeah, okay, maybe, right? Isn't that what he's saying about tonight?
About tonight?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas the other day is like, oh, I knew for sure. That had loss written all over it. Tonight, he's like, okay, they
he's
might
He's leaving
get it
himself
a
little wiggle room.
I'm going quiet
man,
over here,
I'm
fellas.
I'm excited, man. I know he's quiet over there. If he ain't got nice, anything
I don't
want to nice
ruin the
to
party.
Say, yeah, don't yeah, say anything don't at all.
I'm playing it smart. I'm playing it smart.
Well, could this explain the Kings' frustrating split personality? We'll look at that next year. From the Golden One Drive Guy, Sacktown Sports. One of the most amazing Kings in those 25 years was Isaiah Thomas. You know, he was kind of like the Brock Purdy of the NBA, last player picked. Some people on the chat here saying, you guys need to give some love to Isaiah Thomas. We've been talking about Isaiah, and we're still
working on... No, that's our guy.
Yeah, still working on getting him on the show.
Yeah.
He's back in the G League.
Yeah, exactly. Jay's supposed to be efforting that. You know, it's make that happen, Jay. No, Isaiah's our guy, man, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Maybe do we have a day when you're on the road coming up? Maybe he,
when I'm out. And,
yeah, just because he... Yeah, it sounds like he's a little leery.
Nah, Jay's supposed to be the mediator between us, right? Bringing us together. Jay is like Dennis Rodman with Kim Jong-un in the United States, you know? That's how frosty things are with me and IT, apparently. So Jay got to make this happen, man, you know?
That's the documentary waiting to happen.
Right. Remember, who was it? Magic and Isaiah sat down for the sit down after all these years. That's what it got to be with me and IT, man. Let's do that.
We'll have to have cameras there, yes. Yeah.
I tell you what, let's look at the schedule. Do they play the Stockton Kings anytime?
Well, check that out.
Know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's make a trip. Let's hop in the SUV, Mercedes Benz EQS SUV 400+.
Short drive to Stockton, right?
Introduce you to my fine people down there while we are. Yeah. Let's look that up. Seriously, fellas. I don't know. That would be cool.
That would be. We'll take a bunch of listeners down there. Yeah, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Studio audience.
You know, the only thing that worries me about tonight's game is that we just talked to Dan Weiss.
Yeah.
And apparently the Spurs are really starting to shoot well from beyond the three-point line now.
No, they are.
Yeah.
And, Devin Vassell's been on fire.
It's not a defensive strength of the Kings. So that's the only thing that, and, you know, Devin Vassell's really good. I have to admit, that makes me a little nervous about tonight.
Well, that's the equalizer in the NBA, right?
Oh,
the three-point
shot.
I mean, look at you. I mean, shoot, what? Was it Chicago that wasn't good at shooting threes or something, and they came in?
Well, it was the Spurs last time they were
Yeah, the Spurs, right?
Yeah.
Orlando, remember Orlando came in here and hit a franchise record? And so that's the true equalizer, right?
Uh-huh.
It's the three-point shot. So if Vassell gets going, man, whew.
And, you know, the king of the three is still, in some ways, Steph. Did you see his new celebration last night?
The golf swing, right?
Yeah. So the king's arch rival gets even more obnoxious with that. And that was, what, first quarter, he hits a three. And, timeout, Bucks!
Right.
And then Steph Curry doing, like, the...
What is that?
What
it's like,
doing?
I understand it's entertainment, but come on, Steph. It's getting to be too much. First of all, he tries to sell, G-Man, what's up? He tries to sell every three-point shot, try to get a foul call.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's just a little too smug. And I've heard that from, like, some fans. They just don't like him because he, our boy Chris Watkins.
I know.
Can't stand Steph, you know, watching Steph.
I know. I was wondering what Chris thought of
the golf swing that got the 8-iron out, right?
Yeah, yeah. There was, and I know this is, you know, the get off my lawn thing to say, but there was a time when you did something like that.
You get hit coming
you'd be
down.
In the hospital.
Right. You get, those days are long gone.
Which is good.
But you would think, even if he did that, that would sort of motivate the defense to lock him down or something. I feel like those things just, all right, it's just part of the game. It's just part of basketball.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You do your celebration and I'll do mine.
Right.
You do you and I'll do me. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the note on De'Aaron Fox?
I did not. What we got
40-point games as we're talking about Steph Curry. I got it right here. Seventh 40-point game this season, passing Steph Curry for fourth most in the NBA this season. Only Luka, Joel Embiid, and Giannis have more 40-point games this season than our boy De'Aaron Fox.
He's got to get that 50 burger this year.
Right.
I know
right?
It doesn't really matter, but I want him to get the 50 burger.
I thought watching that game
gonna
last
get his,
night.
De'Aaron got to get a 50 burger this year?
What do you think? 60. Oh, man. Scoring is up, right?
Yeah.
Scoring is up. But I even thought last night, just watching, he'd at least set a new career high.
Yeah.
Like, he was cooking so much, and he had, like, a minute left or something.
Yeah, that shot went in and out.
Yeah, it went in and out, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, I was like, dude, your career high, you know, you're going to get it? And he's like, yeah, if that shot wouldn't have went in, or I should have taken the layup, and it's going to come, man. It's going to come.
Do you think this might explain the Kings' split personality?
Awesome.
Maybe I'm wrong, maybe it doesn't.
I
mentioned this earlier. There are certain games where the Kings are on the road. We saw it Friday with Malik. We saw it last night from Malik and De'Aaron Fox. And they just play with such intensity. Mm. And I'm not saying they come out here and they don't try. I'm not saying that at all. But there are certain road games where they bring so much swagger. And it's just not always there in home games. It's like they really embrace the role of the perceived underdog. We're going to show you.
Right, right.
And I think that's one of the reasons why some nights the Kings are like, you know, it's incredible what they're able to do and the way those two guys impose their will. And other times, it's not that there's not the effort. There's not always that same amount of intensity.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, and I think that's the mark, and I'm going to say this with all due respect, of an immature team.
Huh.
You know, it's you know how it is, man. You know, oh, we got LeBron tonight. Oh, like even as media members, we get up for, you know, the Lakers, the Nuggets, you know, the Clippers. And so it's only human nature. I think when you go from being a good team to a great team is that, and I go back east, and I'm watching what Boston is doing tonight. Pretty much, they're looking to stomp out everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. Mm-hmm. They are bringing their A game. And the thing about Boston that I'm seeing, and I want Sacramento to get to this, and I feel like I'm seeing this from Denver, too, as of late. It's not about the opponent. It's about your mindset. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Like, whoever lines up against you, it doesn't even matter. You're going to play your game. You're going to play your hearts out. You're going to bring the funk. And that's where the Kings need to get to.
And legend has it that was one of the things that made MJ so great.
Right.
He didn't take any nights off when it came to that.
Right.
Maybe it took a toll on him at some point, but he didn't. He brought that same intensity every night.
And the thing, and you know, we had Stacey King on talking about this, and the thing about MJ, it could be Joe Schmo that's not an all-star.
He would make stuff
up. He would make stuff up, right.
Yeah.
Whatever it took to get him to that level, he would do. I got to see that from our Kings tonight.
Yep. We have info on Isaiah Thomas and the G League and the Stockton Kings. Jay, what do we got?
Yeah, so IT, who's going to be a friend of this show, he just signed as of March 5th. Guess what? Stockton Kings just hosted the Salt Lake City Stars March 2nd. So we just missed it.
Oh,
no
see,
more.
He was ducking
no
your
more
boy,
games.
Huh? He was like, ooh, I don't want to go to Stockton. Drapes is down there. You know, Drapes is there. So let me wait a couple days and sign. Are you serious? Darn.
Just missed him. We have
as you say, road trip.
We have TD coming this way March 17th, Sunday, March 17th. With the Rip City Hawks.
Oh, our boy
TD. Or excuse me, Rip City Remix,
okay.
Right?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Rip City Remix. I might have to go to that one, March 17th. Yeah. Do we have a Kings game that
I think
day?
The next day is
the
Memphis game, right?
Day.
Yeah. Oh, we play the Knicks the 17th?
Yeah, because Saturday we play
that's right.
The Saturday we play the Knicks. And then, so Sunday, maybe we'll go down to that one. I haven't been to a Stockton Kings game yet, man.
So, oh, see, if you were to travel to go to wherever the Jazz G League team plays, and you were to go there to see Isaiah, and that would be such a
Santa Cruz Warriors.
Yeah,
let me look up their schedule. That could be.
Let me look
move.
That up for you. Hold on.
Look that up for us, Jay.
Yeah, that place is nuts too.
Is it really?
Well, I've just seen it's like this big aluminum square, and it's like there's an arena.
There's an arena.
It's pretty
there's
nutty.
A court.
Yeah,
I might check. Hey, if IT is down there and I'm off, I will go. Because I need a face-to-face.
Yeah.
I need a
we're going to have to send some cameras, too, because this has to be
and
documented.
Some security, maybe, too. You know? Like, not for me. He might he might be still mad at me. I'm cool with IT. But seriously, I need to address this. If he got a problem with me, it's a misunderstanding. IT was my guy in Boston, dude. Come on, man. Those were some of the best times in Boston ever. What?
Is G-Man chuckling at that? Or
G-Man back there.
We've got the big question mark. Yeah. What do we got, Jack?
In typical Kyle Draper fashion, nope. Not, don't play Santa Cruz either, man.
Dang.
They don't play
I'm
Santa
trying,
Cruz
man.
Either,
it's not
man.
For lack of effort, dude. It is not for lack of effort.
Huh. The big question mark that now hangs over the playoff race in the West is next with the Drive Guys, and we'll find a way to make this happen with IT and KD. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.